on the sin of boasting. The sin of boasting. Glory be to God. The sin of boasting. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We'll read our opening text and then we'll pray in Jesus' name. The sin of boasting. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Look at James chapter 4, and we'll begin with verse 13, reading down to verse 17. Let us read. Let me slow down a little bit. Thank you, Lord Jesus. James chapter 4, verse 13. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord Jesus. What an opportunity to come around the word of God and partake of the bread. Thank you, Lord Jesus. What a privilege. Verse 13 says, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. Isn't that the truth?
Amen.
You're just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and also do this or that. Mm-hmm. But as it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil, all of it.
Amen.
Therefore, to one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. Glory be to God as we go before the throne of grace. Father God, we just thank you for the word. First of all, we thank you for the shed blood of Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
And if you really want to know the truth, Father, we thank you for the miraculous birth, the sinless life,
yes, Lord,
the sacrificial death, the supernatural raising resurrection from the dead. And we thank you for the supernatural ascension where he is seated right now at your right hand. We thank you. Father God, we have been called to righteousness because we've been clothed in righteousness. We've been called to live righteously. For by their fruits is how folks will identify us. We pray, Father, that those under the sound of my voice, that we are not just hearers and listeners of your word, mm-hmm. but doers only. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. And every heart said, amen.
Amen.
Glory be to God. And so we're continuing our series on the sin of boasting here in the book of James. James says in verse 13, that, you know, you make all of these promises, and there were five things in there. You make all of these plans, rather, and you do it apart from God, and he's letting you know that you don't even know what tomorrow's going to be like. You're just a vapor that appears and then disappears.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, he corrects, is what you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live also to do this and do that. We went over that. We were in the process of going over verse 15 again. Just all this is review. He said, instead, you ought to say, and we found out that ought to say is in the present tense, meaning you ought to be in the habit of saying this. You ought to say this constantly, consistently, and continually. What are you to say? Constantly, consistently, and continually. You ought to say, if the Lord's will. We are submitting to the will of God.
Amen.
We said last week, just for clarity, that to say, if the Lord's will, is to acknowledge and submit to the sovereign will of God over and above our own. We're not just saying that. And remember, saying, when we talk about scripture, just says believing, it's more than just saying something out of your mouth or believing something in your mind. When you're talking about biblical saying and biblical believing, it's going to be followed with acknowledgement, a submission to it, and then acting on an act of obedience.
Yeah.
So just by way of review, to acknowledge and to submit to the will of God is to obey the will of God. So this is how this looks. When we say, if it's the Lord's will, we'll do this and that. Mm-hmm. That means that you're submitting to and acknowledging the will of God. Mm-hmm. When you are submitting to and acknowledging the will of God, it means that you're going to obey His will. Glory be to God. It does no good to say, if the Lord wills, and go on living as if He does not exist.
Amen.
We call that practical atheism. So in practice, you are living as if God doesn't exist, although you are acknowledging Him with your mouth. And that's the classic of what Jesus talks about in Matthew, the 15th chapter and the 8th verse. You don't have to turn there. When He says that these people draw near Me with their mouths and honor Me with their lips, but their heart is far from Me. And so we don't want to be those who just say, if it's the Lord's will, and then go on living as if He does not exist. We don't want to. 1 John 3:18 reminds us, let us not love in theory and word and speech, but in deed and in truth. We're not to just love with our mouths. Then we began to take a nosedive into the will of God. This will that we are submitted to, that we're acknowledging and are obeying. We begin to take a nosedive into that. And so we went over those scriptures where the Apostle Paul and the writer of Hebrews said, we will do this and that if the Lord permits, if it's the Lord's will. Mm-hmm. And then we began to acknowledge some things concerning the will of God. The first thing we wanted to acknowledge is the fact that God's will is sovereign over all and every aspect of our lives. And that's the whole thing behind submitting to and acknowledging the will of God. It is to acknowledge that all aspects of our lives fall up under the authority of the sovereign will of God. And we went over those scriptures last time. Secondly, we talked about that we live only because God wills it. And He alone controls life and death. Amen. Only God controls life and death. We don't make ourselves live. We don't bring ourselves into existence. We live, we move, and have our existence, Acts 17:28, because of Him. Glory be to God. And He has the keys to death, meaning that God is in complete control over death. And death will be abolished. Death is an enemy. Why is death an enemy? Because it is here because of sin, that which God hates. That which God hates, which is sin, brought death. Romans 5:12. Death then is the enemy of God. And so we thank God that He has full control over death, and He has the keys to death and hell, Revelation 1:18. Thirdly, God's will, it is sovereign over all of the aspects of our lives. We live only because God wills it, and He alone has the power over death and life and death. Thirdly, God's will is to be acknowledged and obeyed. Again, remember, acknowledgement is not just to have mere mental assent. It's not to just agree mentally.
Right.
Just like it's not to just say with your mouth that if the Lord's will. We're saying this because we're going to obey His will. And it is to be acknowledged and, key conjunction, and obeyed. And we asked the question last time, how is the will of God to be acknowledged and obeyed? And we picked out two things. It is to be, that is to happen through worship and a renovated, renewed mind. Through worship and a renovated and renewed mind. Let's look back at Romans chapter 12, as we're still reviewing, I've noticed that when I do review, that's when I rush, because I'm trying to get through the review to get to the new parts of the new, you know, parts of the sermon, of the text rather, and I'm learning to try to slow down just a little bit during the review so it doesn't seem so rushed. Amen. We can hear these 100 times. That's at any time we should let them slip. And so it's okay to go through the review a little slower. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
So how do we acknowledge and obey the word of God through worship and a renovated mind? Still reviewing Romans 12, 1. Did I tell you to turn there yet?
Mm-hmm.
Romans chapter 12, verse 1. You got it, mother? Okay. Therefore, I urge you, I beg you, I plead with you, and I'm begging you, please, brothers, by the mercies of God that were listed in chapters 1 through 11 of Romans, to present once and for all your bodies a living and holy sacrifice. Just any old kind? No. Acceptable to God. Well-pleasing to God, extraordinarily pleasing and eminently satisfactory to God, well-approved, not just pleasing, not just barely making it, but well, this is a vivid Greek verb, and it is something that is well-approved, that is extraordinarily pleasing to God. Mm-hmm. And we went over that before. Again, that reminds us that our bodies are to be at God's disposal. And I love to keep reading what that is when we say to God.
Amen.
Put your bodies at God's disposal.
Mm-hmm.
Your body be completely under God's control. Allow God to totally manage and direct your body. That's submission to, that's acknowledging the will of the Lord. That's putting it into action. That's making it practical.
Mm-hmm.
He says to present your bodies a living sacrifice, and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual. We know that several times, which means rational and soul-ish, coming from the depths of our being, which is our rational spiritual service of worship. And that's an act of worship. And that's our duty as priests of God. Glory be to God. Look at verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed how? By the renewing of your mind. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And this is still a review, but when we talked about do not be conformed again, that, remember, this is an action that is happening right now. And so the Greek, the verb there here is stop masquerading. Stop being conformed. Stop masquerading in the ways of this world. Its mannerisms, speech, expressions, styles, and habits. Stop masquerading. Stop wearing a costume where you outwardly look like the world. Stop doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But be transformed. And he says to change to an expression which comes from your regenerated inner being and is representative of it. When you act like the world, that's not a true representation of who you really are inwardly. And he's saying, stop doing that and start doing this, which is to allow the regenerated being that you really are inside, let that being shine forth to a watching world. And he says, how's all this done? This is all done by the renewing of your mind. We can't hear that enough. By the renewing of our mind, by a renewal of our mind. A renovation of our mind, a revamping, if you will, a makeover,
yes, Lord,
an overhaul,
oh, yes,
a complete change for the better of our mental processes. Now, that's something we can't hear enough of. Again, renewing of the mind again means a renewal, a renovation, a revamping, a makeover, an overhaul, a complete change for the better of our mental process. Complete change. Mind renovation, mind renewal is accomplished only through, by, and because of the Holy Spirit. We can't renew our own minds. We can't renovate our own minds. It's done by the power of the Holy Spirit. Went over some notes on that, saying things like when we constantly, consistently, and continually, in other words, when we habitually yield to the influence and control of the Holy Spirit, sin begins to decrease in our lives. And in its stead, the fruit of the Spirit increases. Amen. So I want to say that again. When we yield constantly, consistently, and continually to the influence, domination, and control of the Holy Spirit, sin begins to decrease in our lives, and in its place, the fruit of the Holy Spirit begins to increase. The fruit of love, joy, peace, long-suffering or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control begins to increase. You're more loving. And we believe, notice again quickly, that it goes over, and verse Galatians 5:22, by the way, says fruit, singular, of the Spirit. And so many theologians believe that they're talking about the one fruit is love, and the rest of it is are the proofs of that fruit, or the branches. Love is the root. If you have love, you'll have joy. If you have love, you'll have peace. If you have love, you'll be patient. You'll be kind. You'll do that which is good. You'll be faithful. You'll be gentle. You'll have self-control and discipline. All of those are functions of love. Mm-hmm. And if you really think about those characteristics and facets of love, they go closely to 1 Corinthians 13 aspects and facets of love over there. So love, that fruit that will increase in your life when sin decreases, is love from the Holy Spirit. Remember, it is the Holy Spirit who does the renewing of the mind, which produces the fruit of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. The Holy Spirit is the reason why there is a decreasing frequency of sin happening in our lives, and an increasing frequency of the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. Amen. Of acts of righteousness. Glory be to God. And how does he do this? By controlling the mental processes of the believer. I said by controlling the mental processes of the believer. So I'm going over it again. The renewing of the mind, the renovation of the mind, the renewal of the mind, the complete makeover of our mental processes is extremely important to growth in Christ Jesus. Spiritual growth, spiritual maturity. Glory be to God. Let's look at Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Look at verse 16. We're still reviewing, but so what? Amen.
Amen.
Need to. I know I don't have it all. Amen. Nowhere near. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Thank you, Jesus. And it reads, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, in the Spirit, by the power of the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh."
Amen.
He said, "But I say, walk by the Spirit." Again, love the tense. The tense is in the perfect tense. We are to walk. Walk means to live and order your behavior, your lifestyle, your thoughts, your words, your actions. Walk is your lifestyle by the Spirit. So the walk is in the perfect tense, present tense rather, meaning that we are to do this constantly, consistently, and continually, and habitually. Be ordering our behavior within the sphere, influence, domain, and by means of the Spirit. So walk by the Spirit. And I love Kenneth V's translation of that. In other words, be habitually ordering your behavior within the sphere, influence, and domain, and by means of the Spirit. Doesn't that fit Ephesians 5:18? Be not drunk with wine, but be being filled moment by moment, constantly, consistently, and continually with the Spirit, filled, led, influenced, dominated, walking in the sphere and domain and influence of the Holy Spirit moment by moment. Just think of that. When you are being influenced by the Holy Spirit moment by moment, you can't help but sin less. And produce fruit of righteousness and the fruit of Spirit more. It's an impossibility to walk moment by moment, constantly, consistently, and continually in the Holy Spirit. It is an impossibility to keep sinning and continue to increase in sin or even maintain sin, the sin level in your life. It's an impossibility. Sin will decrease. And he says, but I say, if you walk in the Spirit, walk by the Spirit rather, do it constantly, consistently, and continually as a force of habit. And look what happened. Look at the promise. And you will not carry out. The word will means positively can't do nothing but happen. You will not carry out the desire, the dictates. When we talk about desire, dictates, cravings, demands of the flesh. And the flesh is that evil, unregenerate nature. So the answer to keeping your flesh under control, the answer to that is to live, order your thoughts, your behavior, your lifestyle, your words, and your actions, be ordering them moment by moment in the sphere, influence, and domain of the Holy Spirit. Let him run it. Because he's going to coach you. He's going to guide you. He's going to lead you. And when we do that, we won't carry out the cravings of our flesh. Amen. Having said that, let's go back to Romans chapter 12, verse 2. The B portion of verse 2. Romans 12, verse 2. Again, Romans 12, 2a, we just went over, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The B portion, so that you may prove what the will of the Lord is. So you may prove. Now prove, we're going to get there for a minute. So let's go back to 12, verse 2, Romans 12, 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Listen. So why is it that we're verse 1, that we're presenting our bodies holy and acceptable to God as a living sacrifice? And verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. There's three things. Present your body, living sacrifice. Don't be conformed to the world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. All of that is for this reason. So that, for this reason, comma. That means, so that also means this is the goal. So that means this is the aim. This is the purpose of all of that. Of submitting your bodies as a living sacrifice to God, well-pleasing to God. Being not conformed to this world, masquerading in the ways of this world, and being transformed, how? By the renewing of our minds. All of that is the goal, the reason for that, the aim and the purpose, that we may prove what the will of the Lord is. See how important that is. And you can't get to understanding proving what the will of the Lord is until you have submitted your body to God as a holy sacrifice living, and it is well pleasing to God, and you stop masquerading the things of this world, and you start letting your inner man really show being transformed through a renewed mind. And when all of that has happened, then you've just positioned yourself to ascertain, to prove, to put to the test what the will of the Lord is. Because see, right now we can't go about what the word of God says because grandma said it. I can't go about what my mother said or even what the preacher says. I need to know that this is what God's word says. I need to know that this thing works for me.
Amen.
I don't work for grandma and my uncle and my aunties and that bishop and that pastor or that saint.
Yeah.
But I didn't know it works for me. So you got to put it to the test because God wants you to know that it works for you.
Amen.
And not just for Elijah or not just for Moses or just not for the Apostle Paul or the Apostle Peter or the Apostle James or the Apostle John.
Amen.
Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And so you may prove. The word prove means to put to the test for the purpose of approving. To put to the test for the purpose of approving. I can't approve that unless I know, unless I test it.
Amen.
Hey, listen, you say, what's the word of God? You're supposed to know. It is the word of God. It is infallible. It is inerrant. Infallible means without, infallible means that it's incapable of error. Without inerrant meaning, it is without error, and it is incapable of failing. It cannot fail, and it is without error. But you know that only to you know that just from the neck up. This word here means to put to the test experimentally and experientially, and finding. So here's, this is the note from Kenneth Vies, who I love as a Greek scholar. He says that you may prove means to put to the test for the purpose of approving, comma, experimentally, experientially, and finding that the thing tested is really what is what it really is. The thing tested is what it really is or what it really purports or claims to be.
Amen.
So I hear the word can cause you to sin less. I hear that the entrance of God's word brings light. I hear that if I hide the word in my heart, I won't sin against you. I hear, but I don't know.
Right.
And you won't know until you do what? I'm giving it away now. Until you obey. We're going to find out how to test. That's what it means.
Yeah.
So we go. You got to test it for yourself.
Amen.
And he said you can't do that. I hope this is all coming together.
Amen.
Unless you sacrifice your body. Give your body to God as a living sacrifice. Stop walking in the masquerading in the ways of this world. Be transformed by letting your inner man really show on the outward. And all of that is done through the renewing of your mind. Once all of that happens, now you can go ahead and put the word of God to the test.
Amen.
And not before then. That's the key point. Again, to prove means to put to the test for the purpose of approving experimentally, experientially, and finding that the thing tested, which is the will of God, is what it really is. It is what it really is. Or it is what it really claims to be. Well, what does it claim to be? Well, in 2 Timothy 6:13, I believe it is, that the word of God is all scripture, rather, is God-breathed, and for it is good for instruction and rebuke and all of those things. That's what it claims to be. Does it rebuke? Does it instruct? Does it correct? Does it equip?
Right.
Well, you got to find it out. Right. The only way you're going to do that is that you put it to the test. Kenneth Vese goes on to say, as a result of the Spirit's control of the mental processes, right, all of this is through the renewing of the mind. As a result of the Spirit's control of the mental processes of the believer, as a result of the Spirit's control of the believer's mind, his thinking ability and moral reasoning and spiritual understanding, the believer then is enabled to put the will of God to the test by obeying the word of God. So again, in a nutshell, I like to over-explain. As a result of the Spirit's control of the mental processes of the believer. Right. As a result of control of the believer's mind, because the mental process is the believer's mind. Not only that, it's his thinking ability, their moral reasoning, and spiritual understanding. As a result of the Spirit's control over all facets of the believer's mind in every way, the believer then, and only then, is enabled to put the will of God to the test. How do we do that? By obeying the word of God. There it is. Same thing, we're not just saying if it's the Lord's will we do this. We are acknowledging and submitting to the will of God. And how do we do that? By obeying the word of God. And as a result of obeying the word of God, the believer sees, this is key, that the word of God and the will of God are one. And the believer then puts his or her stamp of approval on the word of God. They endorse it, they support it, and they sanction it. Yep. Of a truth, I know that this is the will of God. I know it. Why? Because it did exactly what it said it would do. What it claimed to be, it was all of that. Hope somebody's listening to me. Amen. You'll never know what the word of God is until you obey it. Amen. And you can't get to that point unless you have a renewed mind. There are steps to this thing.
Amen.
The word of God is very ordered. Mm-hmm. When he says our steps are ordered by the Lord, hope that takes on a new meaning. They are ordered. Present your body as a living sacrifice. And you just can't do it any kind of way. It must be holy and without blemish. And it must be well pleasing to God. And then we got to stop doing something. Stop masquerading in the costumes of this world. Its ways and its, thank you. Its ways and its speech and its mannerisms. Stop doing that outwardly. And show the transformation that really has happened when you were born again, when you were renovated on the inside. Let that come out. Okay. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works.
Yes.
And good works are God works.
Amen.
Glorify your Father, who is in heaven.
Amen.
And so once our moral reasoning, once our spiritual understanding, once our thinking and our mind and mental processes are under the control of the Spirit, we then have been enabled to put the will of God to the test by obeying the word of God. It is through obedience, word of life, and others listening. You can't get around obeying the word of God. You can't get around it.
Amen.
That's why I don't care. It's not, just stop saying you're a Christian. Just let people know that you're a Christian. The word of God didn't say that that then will they see that you're my disciple because you said it.
Yes.
No, they'll see something.
Yes.
Let your light so shine before men that they may see, not hear, see your good works.
Mm-hmm.
Obedience is the key.
Mm-hmm.
And when you obey the word of God, as I said again, it's a good thing to repeat again. As a result, they see, they being the believer, sees that the word of God and the will of God are one. The word of God and the will of God are one. And the believer, then they put their stamp of approval on it. They'll endorse it, they'll support it, and they'll sanction it. That's when you go out and tell them, man, this is real. This is for real, man. I'm telling you. How? Because I put it to the test. How do you do that? I obeyed. He said, do this. I did it and got the results. Husband, love your wives as Christ loved the church. I did that. My marriage improved. And why he says, you know, it says to reverence her husband and honor him and esteem and venerate him. I did that instead of tearing him down. We get along great. The word works. I can tell you that. They put their stamp of approval. They endorse it. They can support it. This is the real deal. But you won't get there apart from obedience. Amen. Our lives can prove to us what the will of the Lord is. That's what he's saying. But that's accomplished only by obeying the word of God. Our life can prove. Look at the Gospel of John, the 17th chapter. The Gospel of John, and thank you for moving back over, I got excited. The 17th chapter, verse 17. Glory be to God. I feel like running somewhere. Yeah. I hope this makes sense to you as much as it is to me.
What's the verse?
17. The Gospel of John, the 7th chapter and the 17th verse. Feel like running.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Obedience is the key. That's the Apostle Paul, the Lord God was telling Saul, King Saul. You know, you want to disobey me and say, I want to sacrifice you, so I save the best animals for last. Well, first he lied. Did you do all that I told you? Yeah. Well, why is it I'm hearing bleeding in the background? You didn't kill everything. I told you to kill everything. Well, we're going to say the best to sacrifice to you, God. That's not what he said to do.
Obedience.
Obedience. The Lord Samuel, by the power of the Holy Spirit, from permission of God Almighty, told King Saul that obedience is better than sacrifice. Oh, I got a church that can help me preach it. Hallelujah. The Gospel of John, 7th chapter, 17th verse. Here it is. If anyone is willing to do his will, are you seeing that?
Mm-hmm.
He will know of the teaching, whether it is of God or whether I speak from myself. Boom. Mic drop. We can stop the service. There it is. Jesus said, if anyone is willing to do his will, then you will know that this teaching is of God.
Amen.
That's just what we've been talking about the last 15 minutes.
Right.
There it is. Jesus just said it. If anyone is willing to do his will, look at the do part.
Mm-hmm.
He will know. That's guaranteed. And again, the word know means experientially and have the needed illumination to recognize and can tell for himself that this teaching is of God. When you do or obey the will of God, which is the word of God, because the word of God and the will of God are one.
Amen.
So when you obey the will of God, you're doing the word of God. And Jesus says, when you do that, you will know through experience and have the needed illumination, I mean the light comes on, to recognize and can tell for himself of the teaching, whether it is of God, meaning out of God, from God, which God as a source, or whether I speak from or of myself as a source. I'm not the source of this teaching. God is.
Amen.
Glory be to God.
God.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Father God.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let's go back to Romans chapter 12. Thank you, Jesus. Look at Romans chapter 12. We went over the A and B portion. I guess you could put down well the rest of the B portion, actually. Verse 2 again. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's the A portion. So that you may prove what the will of the Lord is. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So that you may prove, we just went over that, what we're trying to prove, remember, the soul that this is the reason, the goal, the aim, so we may prove what the will of the Lord is, or what is the will of God. that which is good and acceptable and perfect. What's good and acceptable and perfect? The will of God. But you won't know that unless you obey it. And then you'll prove, as Jesus just said, then you will know for yourself. And what are you going to know? That the will of God is good, acceptable, and perfect. Good means essentially, intrinsically, consummately, unchangeably good. In other words, it's good at the very core, the very fabric is good. It's good qualitatively. It's good in quality. It's good at the core. It's good intrinsically. It's good consummately, meaning completely good through and through. And it's unchangeably good. Good also means that which is excellent, distinguished, upright, honorable, of the highest degree. Yeah, I overdid it on good on purpose. It's not a light word. I'm going to go over it again. That which is essentially, intrinsically, consummately, and unchangeably good. It means good through and through, from top to bottom.
Inside out.
Thank you. I got a help preacher right there. That which is excellent, distinguished, upright, honorable, of the highest degree. Certainly that's the will of God. Certainly that's the word of God.
Yes, Lord.
Not only that which is good, but that which is acceptable. That which is well-pleasing. Went over that again. And perfect, meaning it is complete. Perfect means complete. Everything it should be. When something is complete, it is everything it should be. Or just as it should be. Lacking nothing to complete it. Again, complete, meaning a perfect rather, is complete. Everything it should be. Just as it should be. Lacking nothing to complete it. Is that the word of God?
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father.
Amen.
And by the way, only the will of God is good, acceptable, and perfect. As opposed to the things of this world, which are purported or claimed to be good, acceptable, and perfect.
Amen.
Only the word of God and the will of God is good, acceptable, and perfect.
Amen.
Glory be to God. And so verse 15 of James says there, verse 15, that instead you ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we will live and also do this or that. But as it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Amen. We'll pick up with verse 16, Lord's will, next week, Lord willing.
Yes,
Lord. If the Lord's will. Amen.
Amen.
Acknowledging the sovereign will of God. Father God, we thank you for this time together in your word. It is truly a lamp unto our feet.
Yes,
it is truly a light unto our pathway.
Yes,
your word we are hiding and storing up in abundance in our heart and treasuring and depositing like money into a bank account. And this is way more valuable than money. These are eternal riches,
yes,
that we have access to, that we are storing up in our hearts in abundance. We're letting the word dwell in us richly, as Colossians says. Why? That we may not sin against you. That's the reason. We thank you, Father, that after we have submitted our bodies as a living sacrifice, a holy sacrifice, living and holy sacrifice. Thank you that this sacrificing of our bodies, our living bodies as holy, will be well-pleasing,
yes,
to you. Well-pleasing. And we thank you, Father, we'll stop masquerading, stop walking around in the costume, looking outwardly like the world in their ways of speech and their mannerisms and the way that we conduct ourselves, that we stop doing that as your people.
Yes, Lord.
And we'll start to walk around as transformed people, what we really are, meaning that our inward, our renewed, regenerated self will show forth. And all that is done by yielding our minds to the power, domain, and control of the Holy Spirit. And we beg you, Holy Spirit, take over our mental processes.
Yes, Lord.
Have your way in our mind in the name of Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah. And when we do that, we will be able to prove that the will of God is good, acceptable, and perfect. And this we will do if God permits. And he's already said it. So we will do this in your power and in your might, Holy Spirit. And we thank you for it in Jesus' holy name. The people of God said,
thank God.
Amen and amen.
Amen.
Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory be to God. Don't forget our next broadcast will be Sunday at 10 a.m. beginning with prayer and then praise and worship, followed by the word of God approximately 10:30 p.m. A.m. rather, Eastern time, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Glory be. I'm trying to think of just continue to pray for children in particular, the city of Inkster, and children all together. Continue to pray for a ministry that dare teach the word of God. Keep us in your prayers as well. And until Sunday, Lord willing, may the Lord watch between me and thee in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.